I have been asked this morning that we have a to make this announcement. We have a Toyota Black 4Runner that's parked on the sidewalk over here, and it needs to be moved. And so, you know, just like wait 5 minutes or so, and then act like you got to get up and go to the restroom, and we'll not know, but it does need to be moved. And so if you have a black Toyota 4Runner parked on the sidewalk, that'd be awesome. Speaking of vehicles in the church parking lot, I came across this newspaper article this week, and if you would put it up on the... Here's how the headline read: Man dies of old age in church parking lot after waiting 60 years for his wife to finish socializing. It's actually out of Los Angeles, California. There's a local man named Herbert Patterson died of natural causes after waiting in his car for over 60 years for his wife to finish socializing at Second Avenue Baptist Church following a November 1956 service. Patterson reportedly got into his couple's 1955 Chevrolet Bel Air about 30 minutes after the close of the service, right after being assured by his wife Betty that she would only be a moment, and then they could go get a hamburger at McDonald's on the way home. But when minutes turned to years and years to decades, the man began to grow concerned. Well, that's Betty for you, Patterson said with a good-natured chuckle in 2008. As he continued to sit in the front seat of their car waiting for his wife. Oh, by the way, don't tell me who won the Cold War. I want to be surprised when I turn on the radio tonight to check the news. Honey, it's time to go. Come on, he called out, attempting to honk the horn, but finding it long had ceased functioning. Sadly, Patterson would never find out who won the Cold War as he passed away peacefully in the driver's seat of the couple's now classic car, as his wife continued to signal that she was just going to be one more minute, talking with her friends in front of the church. He went as he would have wanted to, waiting for Grandma to be done milling about the church, one of Patterson's grandchildren said at the funeral, which Mrs. Patterson did not attend as she was still reportedly socializing for just one more minute after the church service that ended over 60 years ago. Of course, that satire, it's not true, okay? But perhaps you can relate. Dr. Ferguson, Stan Ferguson, I don't know if he's here today or not, so we actually have a doctor in the house. He says that there's a clinical name for this. It's called exiditis. And perhaps you personally deal with this serious issue or have been forced to wait on someone who does struggle with this problem. I grew up the son of a preacher man, and so I spent many Sunday mornings and evenings waiting on my parents to finish socializing, and fortunately had two brothers, and so we could pass the time well together. Admittedly, I know that my own kids could tell stories about having to wait on me as well. Does anyone here this morning like to wait? I mean, do you enjoy waiting? You know, with our smartphones and unlimited data plans, I think it's harder than ever to wait. I remember when we would visit Nick. Now, Nick is Karen's grandmother Nicholson, who lived in Lowe's, Kentucky, down in Graves County. Something would come up in conversation, for instance, like we're going to go on a mission trip to Croatia. And then she would ask the question, where's Croatia? Now, today, we just pull the phones out and Google it, right? But she would just smile, get up out of her chair, and shuffle across the room to her bookshelf, where she had her set of World Book encyclopedias. And she'd find the letter C, and then she'd shuffle back across the room. And then she'd sit down and she'd begin to kind of thumb through the pages and look up Croatia in the encyclopedia. She might as well just have taken out like a big old butter churn you know, something else prehistoric. That's just not the world we live in anymore. It takes too long. You know, everything is at our fingertips. We don't have to wait very long for anything anymore. Just yesterday, I had to make the decision whether or not to renew our Amazon Prime membership. Now, you may or may not have that membership. You know, we don't take advantage, really, of many of the things that it has to offer as far as pictures and music and television shows and movies and things. Really, the only reason we have it is because of the free two-day delivery. But, you know, if you actually buy something more than $25 at Amazon, you get free delivery. It's just 3 days instead of two. And that's really hard to wait for that extra day. And it's worth paying the money for the membership, although I chose not to. I chose not to renew. I had to share that news with Karen and Bailey last night as they were watching Downton Abbey, and they're only like in season two. And so, yeah. So it would help my marriage greatly if, like, you own that Downton Abbey, like, DVD series. Yeah, I would love to borrow that. But waiting is difficult for us. I had lunch this week with just one of my best friends, Gavin Duerson, and many of you know him. And I've had him here, and he helped me teach a neighboring class back in the fall. But he and Carla are having a baby, and they have five children, and this is their sixth, and the little girl's name is Wiley. And we've been praying hard for Wiley because she has trisomy 18, which is a chromosome problem. It's been a blessing just to walk with them through the journey and to see them glorify God through every step of the journey. And so I was just getting with Gavin to check on him. And, you know, he said to me, he said, you know, Barrett, the hardest part of this whole ordeal is the waiting. And when he said that, I couldn't help, this is just how my brain works, I couldn't help but think of what pop theologian Tom Petty said when he so aptly wrote that the waiting is the hardest part. And it's true. It's true. Waiting is difficult. Whether it's waiting for the results of a medical test, or whether it's waiting to have a child, or waiting for a spouse, or waiting for a loved one to come to Christ. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Perhaps you've never noticed this, but when you open up the scriptures, you'll find example after example after example of people who are chosen by God to wait. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 is basically a list of imperfect people who had struggles and made mistakes, but they waited on God. Abraham and Sarah struggled to have children, but waited on the Lord. And when Abraham turned 100 years old, Isaac was born to Sarah. Moses was to deliver the people from Egypt and rebuild the nation of Israel, but waited on the Lord. And after he spent 40 years herding sheep out in the middle of nowhere, God came to him in the burning bush. Joseph was to become a great leader of people, but waited on the Lord. And after his brothers threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery, or was forgotten about for years in prison, he finally was elevated to second in command over all of Egypt. in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul had a vision and met Christ. He was given a call, to a very specific call, to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but waited on the Lord. And 13 years after his road to Damascus experience, he preached his very first message. So there seems to be a pattern in Scripture of God's people waiting and waiting and waiting. And my guess is they probably liked it about as much as we do. I'm preaching a six-week series through the book of Habakkuk because I think it gives us some very practical insight into how a person of God faces a very difficult time of suffering. And we're focusing on the second part of our mission statement, which is to embrace the hurting. And if we're going to be people who do this well, who walk alongside those who are hurting, then I think there are several principles that we can learn from watching Habakkuk and how he responded to the difficult reality of his situation. So we're going to learn six action steps to help us to become a people who better embrace the hurting. 2 weeks ago, when we started, the action step is that we want to give people permission to wrestle. That's what the name Habakkuk means. It's the wrestler. We want to give people who are hurting the permission to ask hard questions and to express doubts and to assure them that it doesn't make them a bad Christian to have those questions and those doubts and those frustrations with their circumstances. Last week, the action step was to not give explanations for people's hurt. We don't want to be in that business. Instead, we want to assure them that God is at work. God is at work. We don't want to try to explain things, but we want to assure them that God is at work. The action step today is this. We want to be a people who wait with those who are waiting. It's kind of taken out of the same idea where we're to mourn with those who are mourning. And we want to wait. We want to be a people who wait with those who are waiting. You see, when you're in a season of waiting, life sort of slows down for you. And so what I'm suggesting as we embrace the hurting is that instead of just going on with our fast-paced life, busy life, where it's easy to forget what's going on in other people's worlds, that we come alongside the hurting and we wait with them. If you've ever spent a day in the waiting room of a hospital, then you know what it's nice to have a friend stop by and to not do anything either that day, but just sit with you while you wait. One of the most important verses in the Old Testament, and easily the central verse of the book of Habakkuk, is found in our reading today in chapter 2 and verse 4. One of the reasons that we know this to be true is because it's quoted and explained in three different books in the New Testament. I think when you hear this verse, you would most likely say that it's the most important verse in the New Testament, and perhaps not even know that the words were originally written by the prophet Habakkuk. It's found there at the end of verse 4 in chapter 2, but the righteous will live by his faith. Paul quoted, explained this verse in both Romans 1 and Galatians 3, and it's vital. It's a vital verse to both of Paul's writings there in Romans and in Galatians. And then in addition, the writer of the book of Hebrews quoted and explained this verse in Hebrews chapter 10. I think we all know the importance and centrality of faith to the life of a Christ follower, and especially during times of trial and hardship and suffering, that we understand the importance of our faith. But what does faith have to do with waiting? Well, here's the principle I think we learn from the accounts of real people who we read about in the Word of God. When it comes to faith, there's always going to be waiting involved. There's always going to be waiting involved. And so I think to live by faith is almost synonymous with to live by waiting. I think we could just as easily say, but the righteous will live by his waiting. Well, when we pick up here in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, we find that Habakkuk is in a season of waiting. Here at the beginning of chapter 2. He's asked all of his why questions. He's not been given any explanations. Instead, God has assured him that he's at work. Now, he decides to wait and see what God is going to do. Habakkuk writes in verse 1, I will stand at my watch, station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. I want you to notice three characteristics this morning of Habakkuk's waiting. I think we can see three things. First, he waits on God with perspective. He waits on God with perspective. Verse 1, he says, I will station myself on the ramparts to look and to see what he will say to me. Now, a rampart, as we learned in Jack's translation, is just another word for a tower. If cities were built with towers so you could see what's coming so that you'd be ready for it. And during this season of waiting, this is where Habakkuk takes his position. He's on the tower. You know, it's so easy during a season of waiting, season of difficulty, you know, just to kind of look at your circumstance. It's so easy to get singularly focused, unable to see the forest because of the tree, so to speak. So Habakkuk takes his position in the tower, in the ramparts, and in so doing, it raises his perspective out of his circumstance and up unto the Lord. You know, while we wait, we must wait with perspective. This is what the Hebrew writer encourages us in Hebrews chapter 2 when he writes, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, the only way to wait is with our eyes fixed upon Jesus. That's the perspective. And so we want to wait on God with perspective. Second, Habakkuk waits on God with perseverance. Habakkuk says at the beginning of chapter 2, he says, I will stand at my watch. Now, those who typically would stand watch on the ramparts of a city were the city guards. And if you're on guard duty, it doesn't matter the circumstance. You may not leave your post, or the city would be lost. And so even though Habakkuk may be struggling with God, he will not leave his post. He may be weary, feel like God is absent and silent. He may be confused and disappointed, but he will not leave his post. You see, waiting is not waiting around. It means to wait with perseverance. You know, even when you don't feel like it, it's just putting one foot in front of the other. It's doing what needs to be done. You know, it's so easy during a season of waiting to stop going to church and to stop reading your Bible and to stop praying and to stop doing those things that you know you need to do. Yet Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch. That's perseverance. So he waits with perspective. He waits with perseverance. But apparently Habakkuk wasn't crazy about waiting either. He's human. He's impatient. And so the third aspect of waiting is that God then encourages him when he speaks to him here starting in verse 2. He encourages him to wait with patience. So that's the third part. It's just waiting with perspective and waiting with perseverance. And to wait with patience. Listen to what the Lord says to him. I'm going to read starting in verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Listen to how the Living Bible renders God's words to Habakkuk in verse 3. These things I plan, they're not going to happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. It seems slow, but do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. God assures Habakkuk that he's going to show up at the appointed time. You see, there's already a time on God's calendar. We just don't know when it is. But we do know that it's always the right time. Paul would write in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God is at work, and he always works at just the right time. And so God encouraged Habakkuk to wait patiently. Though it linger, wait for it. God then goes on to say in verse 4, see, he's puffed up. His desires are not upright. There he's referring to the Babylonians. They're swollen. Literally is what that says. They're swollen. They're puffed up. They don't wait around for no one. They do everything themselves. They kind of take it into their own hands. But the righteous, that's not how the righteous live. Habakkuk, how do you live when it seems like the bad guys are winning? How do you live when the Babylonians, the puffed up, come into power? How do you live when your prayers go unanswered? How do you live when you look around and all you see is trouble? The righteous will live by his faith. Faith is not an acceptance of certain doctrine. It's not some kind of inner attitude toward God. But rather, what Habakkuk teaches us is that faith is waiting upon the Lord with perspective, perseverance, and patience. During the first week of this series, we learned that Habakkuk's name meant to both wrestle and to embrace. And really what we're talking about here with waiting and faith has more to do with the embrace part, right? Asking the tough questions, expressing our doubts, that has to do with the wrestling part. But choosing to live by faith, choosing to wait upon the Lord with perseverance and with patience, with perspective, that's the embrace part of Habakkuk. So we wrestle with God at the same time we embrace him. And I think that's a big part of what it means to embrace God, is this idea of waiting on him. Waiting on him. I read just an incredible story several years ago, and it's in Brennan Manning's book called Ruthless Trust. And it's just one of those stories you never forget. And it's a true story, Brennan says. I actually shared the story with the church family, it may be a decade ago. It's been a while. And so I wanted to share it here because it was fitting. But there's a story about this missionary family. And the missionary family is on sabbatical. And so they were back in the States for a few weeks, just relaxing and kind of rejuvenating, getting ready to head back out onto the mission field. And they were staying on a large piece of property in someone's guest home. And this large piece of property just happened to be on a lake. And so they were enjoying some time just as a family. There's a young family with a young daughter and young son, both under the age of 10. And so the two younger kids were down playing on the dock while the parents were sitting there in some chairs on the shore of the lake, resting and relaxing and reading. All of a sudden, the older sister screamed. Her younger brother had fallen in the water. Well, young boy didn't know how to swim. And when the dad looked up, the young boy was nowhere to be seen. And so, like any dad would do, he ran, jumped off the dock into the water. And as he frantically looked for his young son, he found him all the way down the bottom of the lake, embracing a pole of the dock. And so the dad got to the young son, and he removed him from the dock, and he took him up to the top of the water, and he got him up onto the dock, and the boy was fine. The dad caught his breath and exasperated. He asked the boy, "What were you doing down there?" And the young boy looked at his father and said, "I was just waiting on you, Dad. I was just waiting on you." Waiting. The righteous will live by his waiting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message from Habakkuk. It's really just this little interlude in his prophecy where we see him waiting. There's much that we can learn about waiting. Father, as we look to be a people who embrace the hurting, we acknowledge and recognize that the waiting can be the hardest part. And so my prayer for us as a people is that you put a call on our hearts to wait with those who are waiting. To stop what we're doing. The many busy things that we have going on in our lives. And wait with the waiting. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that takes your word and implants it deep within our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if there's anybody here who would love to make today the day to come and put your faith in Christ, to choose today that you're going to wait on him the rest of your life, that you're going to stop trying to do it yourself like the puffed up Babylonians, right? And instead, live a life of faith, a life of waiting upon the Lord. We'd love for that to be possible today. We'd love to be a part of that and baptize you in the Christ today. There's also people in the back who are there to pray for you today. If you have a need, let's stand together and sing.